have but one pleasure in benefits, and a very short-lived pleasure at that. It lasts only while they are receiving them. But the wise man derives therefrom an abiding and eternal joy. For he takes delight not so much in receiving the gift as in having received it. And this joy never perishes. It abides with him always. He despises the wrongs done him. He forgets them, not accidentally, but voluntarily. He does not put a wrong construction upon everything, or seek for someone whom he may hold responsible for each happening. He rather ascribes even the sins of men to chance. He will not misinterpret a word or a look. He makes light of all mishaps by interpreting them in a generous way. He does not remember an injury rather than a service. As far as possible, he lets his memory rest upon the earlier and the better deed, never changing his attitude towards those who have deserved well of him, except in climes where the bad deeds far outdistance the good, and the space between them is obvious even to one who closes his eyes to it. Even then, only to this extent, that he strives, after receiving the preponderant injury, to resume the attitude which he held before he received the benefit. For when the injury merely equals the benefit, a certain amount of kindly feeling is left over. Just as a defendant is acquitted when the votes are equal, and just as the spirit of kindliness always tries to bend every doubtful case toward the better interpretation, so the mind of the wise man, when another's merits merely equal his bad deeds, will, to be sure, cease to feel an obligation, but does not cease to desire to feel it, and acts precisely like the man who pays his debts even after they have been legally cancelled. But no man can be grateful unless he has learned to scorn the things which drive the common herd to distraction. If you wish to make return for a favor, you must be willing to go into exile, or to pour forth your blood, or to undergo poverty, or, and this will frequently happen, even to let your very innocence be stained and exposed to shameful slanders. It is no slight price that a man must pay for being grateful. We hold nothing dearer than a benefit, so long as we are seeking one. We hold nothing cheaper after we have received it. Do you ask what it is that makes us forget benefits received? It is our extreme greed for receiving others. We consider not what we have obtained, but what we are to seek. We are deflected from the right course by riches, titles, power, and everything which is valuable in our opinion, but worthless when rated at its real value. We do not know how to weigh matters. We should take counsel regarding them, not with their reputation, but with their nature. Those things possess no grandeur wherewith to enthrall our minds, except the fact that we have become accustomed to marvel at them. For they are not praised because they ought to be desired, but they are desired because they have been praised. And when the error of individuals has once created error on the part of the public, then the public error goes on creating error on the part of individuals. But just as we take on faith such estimates of values, so let us take on the faith of the people this truth, that nothing is more honorable than a grateful heart. This phrase will be echoed by all cities and by all races even those from savage countries. Upon this point, good and bad will agree. Some praise pleasure, some prefer toil. Some say that pain is the greatest of evils, some say it is no evil at all. Some will include riches in the supreme good. Others will say that their discovery meant harm to the human race, and that none is richer than he to whom fortune has found nothing to give. Amid all this diversity of opinion, all men will yet with one voice, as the saying is, vote aye to the proposition that thanks should be returned to those who have deserved well of us. On this question, the common herd, rebellious as they are, will all agree. But at present, we keep paying back injuries instead of benefits. And the primary reason why a man is ungrateful is that he has found it impossible to be grateful enough. Our madness has gone to such lengths that it is a very dangerous thing to confer great benefits upon a person. For just because he thinks it shameful not to repay, so he would have none left alive whom he should repay. Keep for yourself what you have received. I do not ask it back. I do not demand it. Let it be safe to have conferred a favor. There is no worse hatred than that which springs from shame at the desecration of a benefit. Farewell. Letter 82. On the Natural Fear of Death. I have already ceased to be anxious about you. Whom then of the gods, you ask, have you found as your voucher? A god, let me tell you, who deceives no one, a soul in love with that which is upright and good. The better part of yourself is on safe ground. Fortune can inflict injury upon you. What is more pertinent is that I have no fears lest you do injury to yourself. Proceed as you have begun, and settle yourself in this way of living, not luxuriously, but calmly. I prefer